It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, we're live on another The Denver Sports Podcast, TDSB. We're presented by Breckenridge Brewery.
Hell yeah.
You guys know we love our Breck beers here at DNVR. Breckenridge Brewery is the official craft beer of DNVR, beer for any occasion. If you're in a bar, if you're in a podcast,
or both,
any occasion. I'm Harrison Wind. Today on TDSB, I got my guy, Ryan Green, with me.
Your guy? All right, I'm all right with that.
Also got Mitch Carroll over there making his second appearance on TDSB.
Not his guy, but I'm still here.
guys, we got a lot to talk about today, and I want to start with Vegas.
All right.
Love that.
You just got back from Vegas.
Still recovering from Vegas, yeah. Flew in last night.
You were there with the CU crew, the CSU crew for the conference tournament.
Was I ever. Oh, which also means I was the oldest person on the trip, which is shocking to me.
So it was you,
mm-hmm.
RK,
mm-hmm.
Jake from the Buffs beat, Justin Michael from the Rams beat,
mm-hmm.
and was that it?
Alyssa.
Oh, Alyssa.
And then Allie showed up.
Alyssa and Allie.
Legendary.
So yeah. You are the old.
Yes. I know. Here.
How old are you?
I know.
I'm 32.
I'm 33.
Oh, you're 33.
Yes. So that was new to me, but no.
How was it?
It was, bro, okay, so like... this is gonna sound like an ad, but I have now been to Vegas, what, I think 6 times in the last 7 months, and I've stayed at Circa for a majority of them, and that place makes it so much easier. It's such a, like, I've been to Marriott's during the entire football season, I've been to Airbnb's during Buff season. Like, Circa is dope. It's just the best showers, they got food downstairs, they got 3 stories of
the
screens,
best
dude, the best showers.
That's important.
It's important. You never know.
Have you stayed at Circa, Mitch? Haven't made it yet.
Okay.
Have not made it.
Hell.
Where
I don't have a... They're not sending rapids to Circa Sports. I'm sorry. I've stayed up and down the strip. Usually we stay down on the far end, so it's like Luxor because it's cheap.
Yeah.
New York, MGM, Treasure Island. I've stayed out a few times and like it. I've even stayed off strip at like the Orleans.
Mm.
Not that tight. Don't do that. Stick to the strip.
No, Circa's dope though.
Yeah,
it's on Fremont.
It damn free.
Well, I like Fremont too. I stayed there too. Yeah,
if the strip should be like covered, like they do.
Wow,
the screens.
I'm into that.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, it's like it's really tough to be in Vegas for a work trip for 5 days, because as you know, it's never just work.
Not with us.
But it's funny, like the max you can stay in Vegas for, if they're going for like a guy's trip for a bachelor party,
yes,
I think is two nights.
Two nights.
That's, two nights, yeah. 3 days, I think is the max. Work trips, usually you can stretch it to 3-4 days.
Yeah.
But it still feels like you have to get out of there when you have to get out of there.
Oh yeah.
Look, I'm not gonna lie. I was rooting for CSU and CU to lose, not make it to the championship game, so we'd have to change flights. but let's be real. But no, it was awesome. And then the fact that we did get to stay an extra night and watch CU in the Pac-12 tournament, I mean,
yeah,
or championship. That's cool. Like, championship games are cool. They get big. It really felt tense. I thought it was a great game.
Yeah.
I know CU faltered down the stretch, but I thought it was a really good championship game. But yeah, I think you're probably sick of hearing about work.
No, I want to hear about work. Like, was there a lot of gambling going on?
So not really. During Super Bowl week, we stayed at the D on Fremont, and we found, and this may have to become an all city thing. We found that they have like the old mechanical racehorse machine that you just like put a quarter into like what combo you think is going to win.
Dude, so they have this at MGM too.
Oh, do they?
The horse racing.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
Yes. I've spent a lot of time at
MGM. Me too.
It's a great place to hunt down the packing eaters.
It's what I've gambled on the most out of any of my Vegas trips.
Hands down.
You just bet a dollar on like a horse.
Yes.
And then they run around the track.
Then they run around. It's so fun. And I don't know why I like that gambling more than like looking at cards and then having just one flip over it. I'm done. Like I can't stand that part of like card gambling.
Interaction's key.
It feels like a video game. Like it feels like I don't know what it's called.
Like horse gambling game.
Horse gambling quarters.
Sit around this like fake horse track.
Yeah.
And you have like screens that you just bet on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the one time I did it, I was at MGM and I was sitting next to this guy who was betting like $100 on the races.
No,
I'm serious. He's like 25 on this horse, 25 on this horse, 25 on this horse to place and show. And like, I'm a big horse racing guy too. Jeez. I love betting on horse races.
Yeah.
So I was immediately drawn and gravitated towards this game. But I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yes.
Because I love it.
It's so fun.
I absolutely love it.
I found it. I found a kill. Sigma Derby.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so they had two machines because the D was kind of old. So they have the old machine where you literally just put a quarter into the slot of the combination of horses you think is going to win. So 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, 2-3, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you just put it down the line. They also have the new magnetic, like, new machines.
This is the one I played.
It's a dollar, but they're like legit horses. I'm like, I was pretty transfixed at how, like, the mechanism of the horses running was actually working there. They got magnets under them. It's really fun. But for some reason, maybe it's like the video game element to it, but betting on that was so much more fun than like $5 tables at Golden Nugget.
And so, RIP to the MGM Sigma Derby game.
It's gone.
There's only one left anywhere, and it's on Fremont Street.
There you go.
They were the only two.
Damn, dude.
Anywhere.
I just played this a couple years ago. I can't believe it's not an MGM anymore.
It's because being those only two and the last parts were manufactured 30 years ago. So wow. It's almost impossible to fix if it breaks.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding, man. When I played that at MGM, I was, you know, betting like, I don't know, $5 on a race. This guy next to me was the equivalent of, you know, the 70-year-old dude at the track. He's got the program in his
hand. Yeah, hell yeah.
And is just, like, slinging whiskey all day.
Dude's rock.
And he, like, knows all the jockeys. He knows all the horses.
Damn, guy.
But this guy was, you know, betting hundreds of dollars on every one of these races.
Damn.
I love that.
And the funniest thing, they're so fun, but it's just all, like, random.
Right.
Does the one at Circa have odds too?
Yes, it has odds. We were trying to game the system because it's so funny. If it's like eight, it would have the horse combination and then like a number like 8, 32, whatever, and you would get that amount of quarters if you won. But we were trying to like, okay, they're not always going to do the favorite, so let's just stick to like the three or four, and you never ever got the right. It was always just. Like, that's when they would throw it.
Like any casino game.
Right.
You're not the house has the edge.
House isn't always going to win.
Yes.
Even
if it's fun.
So, yeah. But we also started to venture off. This was the first trip that we have started to venture off of Fremont on the other ends. And so, as you know, I don't know if the viewers know. But so, Fremont is like 3-4 blocks.
Yeah.
Under a screen of roof of just casinos, gift shops, the street entertainers. It's my favorite part of Vegas.
And when we do DNVR trips, we're staying at Circa these days. And so we're like spending all our time on Fremont. We rarely go to the Strip anymore.
And I haven't missed it at all.
Yeah.
My favorite part.
The strip is played out.
Get out.
Point
out. So what we went a block past where Fremont kind of ends, and we started getting to like the dive bars.
Yeah,
and
I've never ventured.
Oh, it's fun. It gets weird, and then it gets dark, like, as in like no more streetlights. But we stumbled upon this dive bar, and on the top, RK saw it said habanero pickleback shots, and then I was like, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So we were like, all right, well, let's go try it. Like we walked this far. Let's go try it. I don't know. So it's a tequila, and then it's
Did you have
it's a second shot? Yes, I had. So it's a tequila shot followed by what to me was just really spicy ketchup. It was clear liquid. It was clear liquid, and you took it, and it just tasted like really hot spicy ketchup.
Habanero.
It was habanero, and I think the pickle, because it was like it helped the shot of tequila, which was not good. But it was a smooth, and then it was just hot, but it tasted like spicy ketchup. And so that, I think we should.
Should we have that at the bar?
Yeah, dude, let's get it at the bar.
That sounds
Mitch is gonna do it.
I don't like that.
And then that was across. There's a disco place called Disco Pussy.
Wow.
And the
I can imagine.
The sign on the front, of course, said "Enter the Puss," which again, like, how do you not?
Oh wow.
We didn't go in. We didn't.
Wow.
That was a little too much. But Jake said he found a favorite Thai food place there on Fremont now. And there's also a really fantastic Evel Knievel pizza place. So anyways, Summer League should be fun, Harrison.
We got to go to Disco Pussy for Summer League. That's on the to-do list. I was just trying to think about, I was going back to gambling for a second. You, RK,
yeah.
Jake, Justin, I'm guessing Alyssa doesn't gamble.
She'll try. She was in on the horses. She's not really into the card games.
I'm going to guess Allie, also not a gambler.
Not a gambler. Okay. She is with me. We go on Fremont and fight.
So you're not a
Mexican
gambler.
Music too. No, no. I wish I was. If I was, I would be the one always taking, like, the most insane odds. I would never place a bet on a favorite. Like, just not for me. And when I see these guys, they're like, up till 4 a.m., right? Like, RK and all.
I've got to think RK is the biggest gambler.
Biggest gambler,
company,
for
in
sure.
In terms of card games, like blackjack, crap.
Right, dude.
I mean, you just look at a picture of this guy, you're like, that's a gambler.
That's a gambler. And boy, does he. And yeah. So they will stay out till like 4 a.m. on playing blackjack and all that stuff. And they'll be like, yeah, like $140. I'm like, you, for 4 a.m.? Like, I can't, like, that's not... I need like $400 to like make the 4 a.m. falling asleep worth it.
Are you a gambler, Mitch?
Oh, yeah.
Card games?
Craps table, generally speaking. I actually had a pretty legendary craps table run. It was the night before Thanksgiving. We had rented out this huge house, like, out in Henderson.
It was
like, a bunch of family. We all went out. And this little old lady was rolling dice. She had no idea what she was doing, which is when you go to the craps table, because she's going to roll for, like, 45 minutes. And I made so much money. Calais Campbell was at the table. NFL guy.
Of course.
As well.
Also, like...
And then this dude, I forget the actor's name. He's the sheriff's brother in Boardwalk Empire. So, like, you know, relatively okay. Like, yeah, I mean, no, people knew who he was. I kind of recognized him.
Yeah.
It was a fun table. Made, like, a good $500 off this one lady rolling. She was walking away after she lost.
Yeah.
And I just ran up and gave her a huge hug and was like, you're the greatest. Thank you so much.
Right.
I will stick at the craps table all night. Okay. It is so fun.
Yeah, I was once at a I wasn't at the table, but for Summer League, one of the coolest parts of NBA Summer League is you just walk around the Aria and the Cosmo.
Love the Cosmo.
There's just, because those are the two hotels where most of the NBA teams stay, dude. And you're just seeing the most random NBA people.
It's like Comic-Con for NBA.
Yeah.
Like, you'll just be like, oh, my God. It's like...
And so one time we were just hanging out in like the lobby of the Aria, and this one craps table, I think it was Ty Lue, coach of the Clippers, who's like a notorious gambler.
Lie that for him.
Chauncey Billups.
Okay.
I've heard he's a gambler as well.
Definitely. Also at this
if you
table,
have money, I bet you
Gary Harris.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And there are some
Gary Harris?
Yeah.
Damn.
But that's what it's like walking around Vegas for Summer.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That is low-key one of my favorite parts of Vegas. Not low-key, high-key. I love seeing, like, the not famous, not that famous person, but notable enough that with someone that like, yeah, just someone who's like, oh, that's random that you're here. Cool.
We saw
Do you want a picture? No, not really. Yeah. You're not that famous. Like,
we saw the D's Nuts Gaudium guy on Fremont.
Wow.
Yeah, he was just watching one of the live shows.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the guy. And I showed him. He's like, that's him. And I guess Spano met him last time. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's a little key.
But I got to think that RK is the biggest gambler / best gambler on the trip. Like, when RK sits down.
Better in gambler.
When RK sits down on a blackjack table, you're probably like, all right, this guy means business. He just has that
seeing powers.
Dude,
yeah.
He's the guy that like does a lap around the tables first to like scope the vibes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Speaking of gambling.
So Jake, I have a feeling, is not a good gambler.
He's a new gambler.
Is this on?
Yeah,
it's on. Yeah, this is on. Yeah.
It was very, very rough this weekend for him. Very rough.
Yeah. I have a feeling Jake, like, sits down at a blackjack table and like might win a hand, but then like loses five straight.
It was a lot of that. It was a lot of not hitting one leg on parlays.
Yeah.
Oh, like, it's okay, buddy.
And the other thing that Jake and Arcade do is they sports bet. So, like, we were leaving, at, like, the day of, and they're like, oh, wait, hang on. We got to go cash in our tickets here real quick before we get in the Uber.
It's,
but again, what better place to do it than Circa?
I did hit on that Avs, the comeback game against the Canucks, though.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
See? Yeah. What'd you have, Avs money line?
It was just a basketball parlay with Utah money line and then or Utah spread and then Avs money line.
Nice,
because they were underdogs that night.
Nice. Yeah. I also have a feeling that Justin is a terrible gambler.
I cannot comment. I do not know. I don't remember seeing Justin go to the table as many.
Justin, no. Who covers the Rams for us, is the nicest dude ever.
Yes,
like, yeah, definitely the nicest guy at the company. Yeah, but I just can't imagine him gambling.
He hooked me up with some whiskey on his way out. So
yeah,
shout out to J-Mike.
No, J-Mike
kept the trip like relatively affordable for me. It's like, yo, let's go here.
He was like,
dude, I'll buy whiskey here instead of the $20 shot.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was great. Dude, yes,
yeah, the liquor store is like a must stop.
But like, he was definitely the first one out of quarters at the horses, right? Like,
yes.
So, but no, shout out J-Mike. We're
shout out.
6 hours away from heading.
Let's see you guys.
We're going to do this soon.
All right.
We got to hit a break real quick. I want to talk about CU and CSU in the tournament on the other side here. Also got to hit some more topics, including, did you guys see that Stephen A. Smith just hates the Nuggets?
Dude, yes. And it's just Colorado. Yeah, it's mainly Colorado. But
we're gonna talk about that in a second. Bet365, speaking of gambling, use code DNVR365 to sign up at Bet365. You can bet on every sport, every parlay, every bet you want to do at Bet365 is what we use here at DNVR to bet. They have a couple offers going on right now. You can do a bet and get offer, place a $5 bet or more, get $150 in bonus bets. Or you can do a first bet safety net offer by placing a bet up to $1,000. If your qualifying bet loses, get a match refund in bonus bets. Tons of stuff on Bet365. You can bet the NBA awards. You can bet NHL award. You can do futures, whatever you want. Must be 21 plus, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Also, shout out to Breckenridge Brewery, official craft beer DNVR. We're drinking some Breck brews on the show.
Fun slinger.
Right?
Yeah, this is a fun slinger. Absolutely.
Got the spring vibes.
Yeah. What's so funny?
He just took my beer.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't actually drink. It was a stunt.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone was watching and saw that, yes.
That's if you're local, stop into the bar. We got tons of Breck Brew on tap. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator online. Just type in your zip code. It shows you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew, the official craft beer of DNVR. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breck Brew. So the reason you were out in Vegas was because of the Pac-12 and Mountain
West
tournament.
I forgot why I was there, but
it was to play that horse.
Yeah, for sure.
To play the fake horse racing.
Yeah, that was
the only one in existence.
Yeah, the only one that's apparently on Fremont
that's
Street.
Awesome.
It only takes quarters.
Yeah.
What was it like covering tournaments?
So tournament basketball is so fun because it's so hectic. So like, it was just four straight days of games, and you start with CSU, and then the next day it's CU and CSU, and then CU and CSU, and CU. It was just so.
And Mountain West was at Thomas and Mack.
Yeah, so Mountain West is at Thomas and Mack. Pac-12 is at T-Mobile, and so it's like literally just to go back and forth between that stuff. And the T-Mobile Arena is dope. Thomas and Mack is cool. It's just like kind of, you can tell they've been there for a while, and they're just off the strip. But T-Mobile is like, you get to like,
I've never been to T-Mobile.
It's
dope.
No, I stayed right across
last time we were there.
The one thing you see when you go to T-Mobile Park is like, damn, I need to come here for a Vegas Knights game. Because they have, really? Like, yes, you can see, like, all of the setup. You can see, like, these platforms coming out from the top where they, like, I don't know. I forget what they do up there where they have, like, the night.
I hate the night.
Stuff like that. But, so, yeah, if the apps play there in the playoffs, I'm going to be so happy. No, T-Mobile's really cool. It's in an awesome part, kind of a revamped part of Vegas that has just a bunch of bars that you walk to and walk up on.
So the park right there we stayed at last time across from T-Mobile.
Park MGM?
Yeah, it's the only non-smoking, which, like, I do like to rip heaters at them at the slot machine like any, you know, blue-blooded American.
Like any sane person would.
That being said, it is nice to not have everything smell like a cigarette, and you can go to the place that smells
I'd say their Park MGM's nice.
Yeah.
And then, boy, I tell you what, I would not want to play the CU Buffs right now. They look so good. And I know they lost to Oregon.
Yeah.
But they...
Not a great sign.
Not a great sign, but like...
Oregon looked good, though.
Oregon looked really good. They had them one... And again, when it comes to tournament basketball, I always like the bigger teams because they just... That's just what they do. They're like, give it to the big guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, minus some of the turnovers that CU had, that game was so winnable. And when Luke O'Brien hit the three, I was like, oh, shit, they did it. Yeah. They made the comeback, and now they're going to just take... They just didn't. They kept... turning it over, but I expect both teams to win in the first four here. CSU, I know I'm a little.
Did you guys think they got screwed by the seeding, or
no? I think CSU finishing what they were seven seed in the Mountain West tournament.
Yeah, that hurt.
You know, they had some stumbles late in the season, so really? it makes sense for them to finish there. The Buffs, you think making the Pac-12 title after winning, what, eight in a row? You think you would just get, like, a 10 seed or something without having to play for it?
Yeah.
If you beat Oregon, you're not in the play-in, so, like, take care of business.
Right.
But at the same time, CU probably got a little more jobbed than CSU did.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I think it was the opposite seasons for each. I think CSU started way hot.
Oh, they were so hot.
And then CU was, like, not really getting it, and then they flipped. I understand, again, it's like, I understand why the Mountain West, while probably one of the better conferences, is not a sexy conference, right? New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, Boise State. Like, it's not, like let's be real. Like, this is one of the biggest weeks in television, sports television. They're going to want the bigger audiences. So I wasn't, like, too surprised that they did not give Mountain West a lot of favorability, but they're in. And
six Mountain West teams.
Right. So that's what everyone was expecting, was a six bid Mountain West, which, again, that's a phenomenal year for that conference.
Oh, yeah.
It just seemed like all of them started to get really low. And again, like,
well, also, I think CSU what happened had a play-in was there were some bid stealers as well.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
there were some wild things.
If Colorado wins the Pac-12, Oregon probably doesn't make the tournament.
Probably not. No, because they were a four seed coming.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you had NC State also beating North Carolina. And I was watching that game earlier and I was like, man, I'm actually getting nervous for CSU right now.
Yeah.
And it turns out CSU was literally the last team in.
No, exactly. Well, when CU met Boise State in the play-in, I was like, uh-oh. That's when I really thought, oh, the Rams are in trouble.
Because I honestly thought that CSU had a better resume than CU.
I think, well, other than the net rating, you're probably right.
CU's best win on the season.
CU.
Yeah. Well, CU's best win on the season.
Creighton? CU?
They beat a 15th-ranked Miami team early in the year.
Yes.
Smoked them in that game. And then it was probably number 22 Washington State in the semis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough... I mean, when you kind of zoom out, neither resume is like... that impressive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they both have stumbles. Like, CU getting waxed by Arizona twice is tough. Like, not even being close. Like, not coming down to, like, a late Arizona push or something. They just got dominated.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe if some of those games are closer, if they pick up one more road win here or there, you're not kind of in this crappy seed situation.
100%.
Although, I do have a soft spot for those first four games. When I was in California, I was covering Cal Poly for the newspaper out there. They were like the seven seed in the Big West tournament, below 500 after winning the Big West tournament still. And then they won the 16-16 play-in seed for the right to get destroyed by like Virginia or somebody.
Right.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, dude. No, it's tournament basketball. So, I will say both teams are really likable.
Yeah, stars. Just,
yeah, like, well, Isaiah Stevens, great. Yeah. KJ Simpson, really good. And again, I think both teams have the capability of just being really, really hard to beat over a 4-game span. If they just have it right, they're tough to beat. I would not be surprised if CU is one of the like Sweet 16 teams. I would not be surprised if CSU makes it at least close to playing in the Sweet 16.
Right.
So I guess I'm not terribly surprised by the seeding. The play-in was a little surprising, but
so Colorado State's playing Virginia.
Yeah,
that's they're both 10 seeds. Then the winner plays Texas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado State can win this game.
Yes.
Because Virginia, I mean, if you don't know anything about college hoops, you know that Virginia can never score.
Low scoring, right. Like, so just make your shots, you're probably doing
right. So they got a chance. Colorado plays Boise State. I don't know much about Boise State.
Boise State's tough, but CU should beat them at least by 10 points. Like, I would. That should not be a difficult win for CU, especially since I think CU's motivated. There was that one year where they didn't get in, and they were like, I think they skipped the NIT or something, and they just were not, like, they were not having it. Like,
there was the one year they didn't get in. But it was, like, such a big stub where they weren't even on the bubble or something.
Right. So it's like, and even Tad was like, I've coached worse teams than this one that's made the tournament, and I've coached better teams that haven't made. And so I think that this team, seeing where they were at literally just a month ago, like, you were like, oh man, are they going to make the tournament? And now that they're in, I think CU is a pretty motivated group, especially after getting to the Pac-12 championship. I'm curious to see about CSU. I thought New Mexico, shout out to their fans. It's as loud as I've ever heard Thomas and Mac against CSU.
Also probably have a thing where at Summer League, half the fans there are Laker fans.
Yeah, right.
Because they just drive up from Vegas, and also most basketball fans in Vegas that follow the NBA are Laker fans.
Yeah.
So I got to think it's a similar thing.
So, yeah, but like it was anything but a neutral site when it was CSU New Mexico. I think it definitely played a part. It was just every New Mexico basketball was literally so loud. It was so loud. And so the fact that CSU even came back in that first half and tied it and made it sort of a game there for a second, I was really impressed with. But that was a tough thing to overcome. So maybe at Dayton, Ohio, against Virginia, maybe it's going to be a little more of a neutral site. And again, like these Rams, they I think are more built for a Virginia-type game than they are trying to outscore another like high-scoring team.
Did you guys did you watch the CU game, Mitch?
Yeah.
What do you think of the CU Oregon?
I mean, it was a little disappointing that they couldn't get a stop down low.
Dude, Dante looked like Jokic.
Yeah, Dante was just unstoppable.
No, he looked like Will Chamberlain. 12.
Yeah.
No, seriously. He went, like 12 of 12 from the field?
And I think if you go back,
that block at the end.
If you go back to their previous game, I think Tad said that he was 10 of 10.
Right, he has his best in his last two games.
Tad, I don't love Tad ball. Like, I want them to run just, like, a little more complex action.
Dude, okay.
It's just put it to the right wing. Nope, nothing there. Okay, back to the left wing. No post. Okay, back to the right wing. And it's just like, just run something a little more complicated, right? Give me a three-man action with Lampkin,
right,
and De Silva and KJ. Like, run anything that gets people moving because the defense is too set all the time against Dabble.
You look at CU. I kind of love their roster.
Me too.
He's a really good big. I think you got Cody Williams. You got Tristan De Silva, KJ. Like, that's a good.
They're fun,
healthy six or seven, and just. You're right. Like, it just doesn't seem like it like plays to that kind of like playmaking ability.
Okay. KJ Simpson had 23 points in this final game.
Okay.
And he did pretty much all that in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, run just high pick and roll for KJ Simpson.
And Lampkin's good.
So nasty, man. KJ Simpson can score from anywhere. Like, every time he pulled up in the second half, I was like, all right, this is in.
Yeah.
He's so good. They just need to center their offense around him more. And I don't get why they were just trying to. I mean, I do get why they were trying to post Lampkin up for the whole game because they got those two relief fouls on him. But I feel like that took them out of their whole game plan.
Yeah.
Because they were just going to the post. And I'm like, give KJ Simpson the ball.
He was making the threes.
Give him the ball and let him go to work.
I can't wait for.
That's what they need to do in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for Lampkin to be like, you'll see like a clip on SportsCenter when he's playing for like Bayern Munich in EuroLeague. And you're like, hey, remember Lampkin? That guy was awesome. He's just going to go be solid right overseas. 15, yeah. Yeah. That's just a random side note. But yeah, get KJ more involved. Run an action that involves some off-ball screens. Mm-hmm. Like, do anything. I mean, Tad Ball, obviously, he just set a program record for wins. So, like, it does work.
I know. And he's
like, but, like, now that it's tournament time, like, let's break out the playbook a little bit more. Like, let's get a little weird.
Let's get crazy.
Yeah. Also, felt to me like Cody Williams is really hurt.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be
really felt like hurt, a non-factor in, especially in that Oregon game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially at the end when the game was kind of out of reach, you could see him taking some jump shots to see, like, okay, how does this feel? Like, maybe I can start doing this. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to be in the tournament. Again, it feels like it's like, you know, playoff ball, and that's going to be a really physical thing. So I just don't know how much he's going to bring to the table. But what a sixth man to have. Like, you know, I mean, I know he may not be full strength, but he has been projected as like number one overall by a lot of people. Yeah. And so if he's coming off the bench and he just does have a good, efficient couple minutes, like that's a great addition.
Yeah. The fact that he's not really looking like a scorer, though.
Yeah.
It really feels like they don't have a lot of options. And that's why I'm like, if they're going to make a run, which teams in the first four have made runs before, you can actually make a, you know, Sweet 16, Elite 8 run for sure out of the first four. Teams have done it recently. You need KJ Simpson to just be the dude.
Yeah.
Like, you need KJ Simpson going for 30, I think, if you're going to make a run, especially with Cody Williams injured. So I would try to get him going as much as possible.
Yep.
Do you think the Rams can make a run?
It's going to be tough. Those first two, Virginia, Texas. Again, Virginia's like, you look at them and you think, well, that's a beatable team.
Great defense.
Great defense. Right. Like,
that's Virginia.
So, like, I think it's going to be a slog. And I don't know what that's going to do if they do make it and then they go play Texas. I don't know what. Texas just seems like, I don't know, pretty. That feels like what the Michigan game the last time the Rams made would be, where it's like, yeah, I can see a path to victory. But if Texas wants to play bully ball, they may have them. Because that was my number one issue with the Rams all year, is that they just don't have, like, a solid big. I love Patrick Cartier. I love Joel Scott. Right. But they're not, like, if you go up against, like, a 6'11 center, he's going to eat. Like, he's going to eat. And so that's what, I don't know. We'll see. But, again, they're veteran. They're a smart team. And they do have scores. When they're, like, hitting their shots, they're really tough to, like, they just have a lot of options, you know. If Isaiah isn't scoring, they got Nick Clifford. They can go to Joel Scott. Well, it's they got a lot of options.
Plus, good guards can make runs in the
draft. Right.
Like,
right.
You saw it with Kansas State last year. Like, if a guard catches form, can they go 3 weeks of basketball?
Yes.
Can Stevens be that guy?
Yes.
Yes.
But can the parts around it hold up against a Texas or a Virginia? Or, you know, it's a tough ask.
I think, as someone about to go through it, the travel is a lot too. Like, they just found out that they're going to play Virginia, and now they have to, like, spend a day traveling.
Are you going know, like, to
going to date?
You're going to date.
Wow.
And then if we
scenic Dayton,
Ohio. And then if they win there, we'll go directly to Charlotte for that first round game against Texas.
So are you not going to the Buffs game?
I don't know if we are. I don't know if that was planned. Justin's going. I don't think Jake's going to the Buffs. I don't think he's going to Dayton.
Okay.
I mean, I would like to.
Date?
I mean, there's probably
I've never been to Dayton.
I might be like a Deion Sanders.
Oh.
Right?
Well, spring football just started. I think the first practice was.
That's a good point.
I thought.
All right, Jake, I take back the joke. I'm sorry.
I thought he'd
I was kind of surprised.
All right, let's hit another break. I want to talk about Stephen A. Smith on the other side.
Are you sure? No.
I think we're going to become very anti-Stephen A. Smith in Denver.
Good.
Guys, it's a great time to become a DNVR diehard, and I'm glad I get to plug this right now. We're having a takeover here for the Nuggets pretty soon.
Hell yeah.
There's a takeover coming up. I think it's our last one of the year. It's, when is this takeover? When is that takeover, Spence?
April 6th.
It's the last one of the year.
Spence is back there?
I think we have like 20 some odd bus tickets left. They're playing
the Hawks.
Okay.
So it's a W.
It's if I remember correctly, the Takeovers have an immaculate like win-loss record.
They do.
Yeah.
It's actually scary how often they win on Takeovers.
Yes. And this is also Avalanche, too. Like,
yeah.
DNVR Takeovers are...
Might have something to do with who, you know, we're scheduling the Takeovers against. I don't know. But...
I don't know, man. Hawks in March.
Nuggets, Hawks. Should April? Be a good win for Denver.
April.
April 6th. TheDNVR.com. You can check out all our events there. I think we still have like 20 bus tickets or something left. So get on that while you can. They're a great time. You meet at the bar. The bus comes right there.
Right there.
Go on the bus. Drink Breck Brew. Go to the game.
You never don't have a free beer in your hand. Like, it's just like you're always drinking the free beer.
It's so the vibes are so great in here. I usually am here to make sure everybody gets on the bus.
Yes. What do you do, Rapid?
Sell them a t-shirt. Whatever, and man, everyone is having a good time. Everyone's saying hi to each other. There's high fives all over the place.
Yep,
it's the best. It's the best.
Absolutely. So sign up for that if you want to, hang with the fellas, hang with Nuggets and Avs fans, and just have a great night. Also, for March Madness, Thursday and Friday, doors open at the bar at 9:30 a.m.
Holy shit.
I'm not getting any work done.
I think games start.
When's the first game? Usually like 10 something?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's Thursday and Friday if you want to come down to the bar and watch games with us. Bottomless Mimosas on weekend mornings. We hosted live shows down the bar as well. I think we might be doing like a watch along too. I'm going to go crazy watching the scene.
They're Tuesday. See you.
CU is Wednesday. CSU's Tuesday.
CSU tomorrow night. Oh, man. Yeah. We just get college hoops CSU all week?
Tomorrow.
Literally all week.
CU, oh, my God.
Wednesday. And
I need a good night's sleep tonight.
Thursday. Yes.
The real first round Thursday.
Get Friday. Ready.
Yeah. It's a great time to become a DNVR diehard, because if you're a diehard, you get discounts on the events, like discounts to the Takeovers, discounts to the, tailgates that we do for Bronco seasons, tons of stuff like
discounts
that.
Discounts at the bar.
Discounts at the bar. You get like 20% off your bar tab when you're here.
Show your card, man.
Show your DNVR membership card. You can also read roundtables, diehard content on the site, thednvr.com. So tons of awesome benefits. Go to thednvr.com. It's just $7 a month, and you can become a DNVR diehard. Join the coolest club in town. All right, back here on TDSP. Harrison Wynn, I got Ryan Green with me, Mitch Carroll as well. I don't know if you guys saw this Stephen A. Smith tweet last night.
Whoa.
Oh, I didn't see this. I thought we were going to the altitude thing that he was talking about.
Well, we can go to that as well. But this one happened last night.
Oh, boy.
After the Kyrie Irving game winner, I'm sure everybody saw the Kyrie Irving game winner, the left-handed runner from the foul line.
I think I was standing right where you are, right? Right now.
Really?
Yeah, it was right there.
Luckiest
really
shot sad. Of the year. Stephen A. Smith tweeted, "That's what Kyrie Irving does. A left-handed floater over Jovic from the free throw line at the buzzer to lift the Mavs over the Nuggets." Here's my question. Because we know Stephen A. Smith has had it out for Denver this year. He had the altitude comment. He said he doesn't want to come to Denver for the playoffs. Was this on purpose?
I have a feeling that I might be a part of this.
He spelled Jokic, J-O-V-I-C, of course, Nikola Jovic, the player on the Heat, but was this on purpose? What do you think?
I think I actually might be one of the sources for his beef.
Oh, here
what?
We go.
With Denver.
Dude, here we go.
I'm not kidding. So me and my buddies made it to the finals last year. Unfortunately, we were at game two. Not great. But we were first row.
In Denver.
In Denver. We were... first row, upper deck, above the ABC.
Yeah.
Booth.
Right. Right. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And right above it. Great view.
Like where Stephen A. Smith is doing the pregame.
Where the studio show is. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Greenberg and Jalen and those guys, right?
Okay.
They wrap up the pregame show.
Okay.
So tip-off's happening. He gets on his phone and is standing on set looking away from the court for the entire first half until he has to sit down to do the halftime show.
Yeah.
Doesn't watch one second. So I take a picture and put it up on Twitter. It's one of the few things that I've ever done well on Twitter that, like, it blew up. And I don't know if he got word of it, but Denver blew up his spot that he doesn't actually watch basketball at basketball games.
Unbelievable.
And so
I'm trying to find your tweet.
It's off. I can look through it. Here's if you guys thing. Want to keep
so finding tweets and
I will.
I yeah. just looked. Stephen A. Smith has never tweeted the name Jovic before that, and he has tweeted Jokic. So I'm going to say it is. I think
this was on purpose.
Much like how Nick Wright leaned into it, I think Stephen A. has seen the blowback from the Denver, like, coming here and all that stuff and go, okay, fine, I'm going to be the heel and I'll lean into this.
So you know a reason why the ESPN people want the Lakers or Clippers to be good so badly?
So they don't have to leave their studio?
Yes.
In L.A.?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Because what a lot of people don't realize is ESPN studios for NBA Countdown and all those shows are literally across the street.
They're right there.
From the arena yes. where the Lakers and Clippers play. And they just don't want to travel.
No.
That's what this is.
Which is weird because Californians are used to coming to Denver. Like, they love this spot. So I don't understand what the problem is.
Have you found this tweet, bitch?
No, I don't know. I'm bad at searching on my phone. I'll find it, I promise.
No, Stephen A. had Elon scrub
it. How much did that tweet blow up?
I mean, it was, you know, a couple hundred likes. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 20 retweets, something like
oh,
that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think
sure
I got, like,
got a hold of it.
I think it was Josh Eberle retweeted it or something. One of those NBA Twitter guys.
Yeah.
But then there was a few people like, yeah, I was sitting near you. I saw the same thing. Oh, I saw the same thing.
The same.
I saw it all. And it was like, the fact that, it just blows my mind. You guys watch so much basketball.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I watch an unhealthy amount of the MLS for my
yes.
role in DNVR Rapids, right? This guy is on ABC, and he didn't watch a second.
What I don't
what
get.
Phone like, call could be more important than the first half of the finals game you're covering?
That's a book deal? Like, I don't, I'm with you, like, if
what
choosing,
what could it be?
If you're choosing to cover basketball or the MLS, like,
yes.
I assume you like it. Like, I assume you love it enough to where you do want to be a sicko and talk about it for hours every day. Like, that's... So, I'm with you. And especially, like, dude, all right. A Hawks game in April, and Stephen A. is here? Fine. Okay, like, whatever. Take your... I don't know. But, like, the NBA Finals. Like, that's where I don't... Like,
it's the pinnacle.
I was... Right. Like, this is like being on a phone call during the Super Bowl. Like, just don't... Like, you don't do it. Like, just take 3 hours and not do it. I was just so shocked.
I found the picture I took, and it's...
Send it to Kale.
I will send it to Kale, but it's Jalen, Wilbon, Greeny. They're all Woj. Everyone is watching the game, and Stephen A. Smith is not on set.
Maybe he have a really important phone.
Damn, dog.
It's crazy. Yo,
but I'll also never forget when I was at Nuggets-Lakers Western Conference Finals. So as I was saying, they film NBA Countdown right across the street, and then they walk over to the set or to the game, and they watch the game like in the press scene.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and then right in front of me, you know, those guys walk over, Stephen A., Malika Andrews, Mike Greenberg, they all walk over and sit down. Jokic got into foul trouble in one of those games. I can't remember if it was game 3 or 4. Mike Greenberg sitting right in front of me. I swear to God, Jokic picked up, it was either his 4th or 5th foul, and Mike Greenberg, like, turns to everybody and goes, that's 5. That's 5. like as if everybody
confident.
Needed his, like, confirmation
that
he had 5 fouls and wasn't valuable. He goes,
I found the picture someone sent me of the phone call, and I drew an arrow of me sitting up there. Okay. So I sent that to Kale. It'll show up on the broadcast here. But, yeah, that was the phone call in his lavender suit, which, like, I wish I could pull off a lavender suit, by the way.
Yeah, he has some good suits.
I'll give you should pull that off, too. I don't know. There you are.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely a Stephen A. Smith thing.
Anyways, the Stephen A. Smith thing. I do have another beef with Stephen A. Smith.
What's that?
You brought it up. It's my beef with this entire sports. The way every team in town uses this term of altitude.
Yeah.
Not elevation.
It's elevation.
Not elevation. It's elevation. We're not playing on a floating basketball court above the city like a friggin' Batman.
It's called altitude sickness.
So your beef is they call it altitude and not elevation?
Correct.
Altitude is above the ground. Elevation is above sea level.
Right.
And it drives me crazy that everyone has just switched the words completely.
Yeah, folks.
It's insane to me.
Semantics, dude. Let's get with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the Nuggets are.
I will continue this fight alone.
Because wasn't the Nuggets hashtag there a while? Elevate? Elevate was a thing.
It needs to be.
But they have altitude sickness before the game.
Whatever.
Should it be elevation sickness is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. There we go.
Unless you get it like on a chairlift or something. Up in a ski resort.
If you're 30,000 feet in an airplane, altitude.
Hot air balloon. Yeah. Zeppelin, perhaps.
Damn. I hate that you're actually making sense.
I've never even thought about that.
No one has, obviously, because it's all over this place. Drives me insane.
You want to do all the branding around 5280 to make it say elevation?
Yes, instead of altitude. And I know that ruins like their entire like television station, radio station,
that broadcasting teams be called elevation.
Oh, Elevation Sports Network.
Elevation Sports Radio. See, it still rolls off the tongue.
Damn, hey guys, this could be if the new president of Kroenke Sports Team and Media Operations is listening.
Maybe this is the standstill. Maybe Comcast is like, you have to change it to elevation. Okay, we're not going to put it incorrectly.
Kevin Dimoff, I know you're listening. Just Googled you who you are. Get to work.
Hey,
I'm sorry. I don't. This is something that no one agrees. No one has agreed with me until right now. This is great.
He's making sense.
I mean, I don't know if I agree. Right. Like, it makes sense, but I don't know if we need to rebrand that.
It's just frustrating that we even started wrong. That's what really, yeah. Is no one was like, wait a second.
Wait.
We're describing the wrong
elevation, right?
Yes!
Oh, this is great.
And then the Stephen A. even used it too. It just makes me so mad. I'm mad about it.
Okay. Well, we can come back to Stephen A. sometime later. Did you guys see the Grady Dick postgame jersey swap with Anthony?
No offense. I love it. I am. Basketball is full of pettiness and like just
this is dumb,
funny. No. Okay. But it's like when I see this, I'm like, it's just funny bullshit. Like it's just because I think Wobe tweeted out like them obviously talking about it and really,
yeah,
fuck it.
Like, so yeah, it's, so Grady Dick and Anthony Black did this jersey swap. Mm-hmm. And you can see the picture there, or you can probably imagine what the two jerseys looked like next to each other. And it looked like Anthony Black. It looked like they were going to be in reverse order from how the picture actually came out. But then it looked like they were in on the joke and switched it. So it said what you think.
Yes.
We would not be able to control ourselves if Grady Dick was on the Nuggets.
Can you imagine? It would be so bad.
It would be the worst. Oh, my God.
We would have...
That's dude.
Can you imagine our Nuggets show with Grady?
Oh yeah, it would be the Dick NBA show.
We're already as bad as we are with Brown Town. Could you imagine Grady?
Oh,
I want the D-line merch though. No less.
Well, I mean that is a good point. Dude. He would have a lot of Dick? Different directions to go with Grady Dick merch.
We might finally get DNVR underwear.
This is a good point.
What would the combo, Black and Dick, obviously kind of funny. Any other combination of Brown Dick? That would be,
wow,
Jesus Christ. Christian Brown and
James Harden.
That'd bring a whole new, new perspective.
Dick Harden, that'd be so good. Nasir Little?
Dick Harden.
Nasir Little, yeah.
Oh. Little, right?
I hope Kevin Nasir Love. Little and Grady Dick are not.
Dude, right?
Cody White.
Love it. Oh, would it be Love Dick or Dick Love? Oh. I don't know.
So what happened?
Take both pictures just to be safe.
What sucks now is this is now going to be like, they're going to have other players asking Grady Dick for this type of shit.
Of course.
Everybody's going to be afraid to take the picture. I guess I don't know if you guys saw.
Oh.
It seems like the Orlando Magic social media person who took this photo may have gotten fired.
Oh, no way.
Because I actually don't know if this is real or fake, but there was a job posting for, like, it's probably fake, for, like, a social media person with the Magic. But what happened was they posted this picture, then it got taken down.
Well, what are you supposed to do? It's a picture. What was the caption? That may have been a little...
Class of 23.
3. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was like a super serious.
If it was like, if it was like, once you go black, oh, like
don't take a picture with Trey.
Yeah.
That one crosses.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Getting fired for that?
Yeah. Just don't take a picture with Trey.
Dick move.
Yeah.
Dick move
right there.
Yeah, it was like class of 2023 because they're both rookies. Super serious caption and then just that picture.
Oh,
what a world, dude.
Crazy.
Nick Richards would be funny.
Richard Dick?
Dick.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick.
Thanks. I'm glad that worked.
No, I got you.
A little nervous about that one.
No,
we got you.
Yeah, I got you.
Wow.
All right. I think that's all the time we got for today.
Wow.
All the dick talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was awesome. Wait, your license plate got stolen, though.
My what? License plate did
here?
Get stolen. I don't know if we were going to get
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
We can get to that.
One plate or two?
I mean, just go quick. Just bring it down.
Yeah, my license plate got stolen the other night. Right off my car.
Captains, why was...
Someone steal a license plate?
This is
so they can put it on a stolen car, I think.
Was it just one of them?
It was the back license plate, yeah. Wow. Because why you a front license plate is worthless because it doesn't have the tags on.
Fair.
So yeah, my back license plate got stolen right out of our parking lot.
How do you? I had a shitty roommate who switched our license plates so he wouldn't have to pay to register his car. And I was like,
yeah, no,
what
no.
the hell?
I'm to the government.
Give me my license plate back.
Yeah, I mean that's
literally shit.
Yeah, so that sucked, but now I was scared to put my new license plate on my car, even though I've been parking here for 5 years and it's never happened.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Now I
but I filed a police report and everything, and then I had to go to the DMV, and that took like an hour.
Did you get Nuggets plates?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't even worth it.
Do you have the new plates, or you need the old ones again?
The old ones. What are the new ones?
The black ones.
I thought that
there's
like a special.
Yeah, that was a special one. But there's a new like mountain scene one too.
I have seen the mountain scene. Everybody has the black plates now, but yeah, I just got the regular ones. I was like so pissed. I'm like, just give me the raid. I don't want to answer any more questions. Just get me out of here. And, you know, it was only like $10 too. It was nothing, but it was just spending an hour in the DMV. You know?
That's awesome.
But then I of course had to get like on Amazon anti-theft license.
Oh, ooh, maybe I need to get this now too.
Yeah.
Dang.
Because apparently what happened is some dude just walked up, unscrewed it real quick, and then just took off. And people saw him and everything too. Apparently there's security camera footage of it. I haven't seen it. Although I've requested it. But yeah, I have your license plates.
Damn.
It can happen anywhere to anyone.
It can happen to you. It can happen to you.
Yeah. Dude.
But then I was actually a little worried about putting my plate back on my car again.
Of course.
Even though I parked here for 5 years and it's never happened.
You know how you're supposed to like exacto knife the tag?
I have heard that.
Okay. What if you just have to like break the license plate in half or something?
That's just they can always
but now nobody steal my license plate because I got the anti-theft one and I needed like an Allen wrench to screw it in.
I hope they keep coming back and just take it and like there's just 10 Harrison Wynn cars running around there.
If somebody wanted to steal this one, it would legit take like 20 minutes to get off.
Wow.
Which I would hope by at that point.
So come during playoff time when everyone's busy in here.
You gotta get an Allen wrench. You gotta get like there's...
He's literally telling you how to do it.
Over and over and over.
Dude,
it better not be. It better not be.
Good thing we don't have someone in HR.
Yeah.
Or do we?
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we got.
Cool.
I think so, too.
Guys, thanks for hanging out with me on TDSP today.
This was great.
I had a great time.
Couple beers.
Yeah.
Now I get to go watch
basketball. You drank two beers.
I drank two beers. I should eat some lunch.
Thanks to Kale for producing. Thanks to everybody watching and tuning in. Throw us a quick like if you can. Leave us a review if you want as well. We'll be back next week. Talk to you guys then.
We all sitting like the mayor.